We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Say hello to friends at 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's classic rock station, and Portland's classic rock, 92.3 KGON, joining us, as well as Z-Rock 103, our latest affiliate there in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome to the show. A big show for you. Bad jokes on the way with Ryan Castle, the Drunk in Charge. Another round of Ted versus the FCC. We'll drink a toast with the shot of the day. And today, believe it or not, our question is inspired by a man named Eric Abramovitz, and Eric is a world-famous clarinetist.
That's right.
From Canada, and at one point in time, he applied to be one of only two clarinetists to work under a very prestigious teacher.
Oh, Yehuda?
Yehuda, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
the great Yehuda.
Yehuda.
Yehuda. That's Yehuda. What I meant to say.
Yehuda, yeah.
I have something in my mouth. Yehuda. We
the
all
great
know
Yehuda.
The great Yehuda.
And this was a real deal. This was seriously like it's a $50,000 a year full ride, including tuition, room and board. This is down in Los Angeles, as well as money for meals and other expenses. Basically, he only works with two people. And once you graduate with this guy's teachings, Yehuda, you are guaranteed to make a ton of money and be able to be a professional.
Because Yehuda's that guy.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. Musician for the rest of your life.
Mike, is there any way we can get audio of like a clarinet solo?
From Yehuda. Do we have any Yehuda that we
maybe can even have? Yehuda. Okay.
Yeah,
he's
know.
On the phone.
Yeah,
if there's any way, I'm just curious to know. I'm not making this up. So earlier today, as we're looking at the story, because the story itself's crazy, but I went online and I'm like, all right, who are like the top 10 clarinet players?
Mm-hmm.
And I read their names, and I don't recognize the name of a single
you would not know.
One of them.
Yeah, but you might know one Eric Abramovitz, because he applied, went to the school, showed up in person, did a trial, and never heard back from Yehuda.
Yehuda.
And he couldn't believe, you know, he's obviously disappointed. And he also then applied to Juilliard in New York, did not hear back. Obviously quite disappointed. Then he found out that his then-girlfriend, who is not his current girlfriend anymore, intercepted both of those emails and basically rejected because he was accepted at both places under the prestigious Yehuda. And if you don't know Juilliard, then, you know,
we can't help.
That's another big one. Either way, she wrote back and declined both of those scholarship offers because, well, according to her, Eric had other things going on. Truth be told, she did not want Eric, her boyfriend at the time, to move away from where she was.
Look, listen, take this as sound advice right now. Don't ever date someone who's really good on clarinet. Eventually, they're going to leave you.
Yeah. You know why?
Because they're going to go to Yehuda. It's just, it's how it goes. You date a clarinet player?
Yeah.
I've dated seven, eight, nine women to play clarinet. I lost them all.
Break your heart every time.
To Yehuda.
Think of it this way. You'll always be second chair. How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-01.
I don't want to laugh at that, but I am.
I know. That's like that's a mean band insult.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So, first of all, I did the wrong.
Okay.
And I will say, first off, it is not okay to steal or joyride people's equipment and stuff.
Are you saying that because you think we don't know, or you're just trying to make yourself feel better?
Is anybody listening out there? Don't
because there were a lot of people out there who thought that was perfectly okay before you called.
You just ruined their day. Right, how many people right now are saying,
just
damn
on their way to.
Yeah.
So, early 90s, living downtown Portland with my buddies, you know, and we are, you know, not the most upstanding citizens.
That's what happens when you live with your buddies, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are drunk one night, me and one buddy, and we're down on that nice marina that, you know, is down right downtown. And we're kind of jockey boxing, you know, just going through a few of the boats, just seeing, you know, what's there. Not really stealing anything, but
I like how you call it jockey boxing. It's not so bad.
Yeah, just stepping on someone's boxing, man. See what they got.
Back in the day.
Right.
So anyways, there's the biggest yacht you ever saw. You know, and my buddy's like, oh, we got to get on it. So I'm like, okay. So I boost him up, and then I climb up, and it's all locked up, you know, and I go to the top because I've worked at a few resorts, marinas and stuff. So I went up top where you can drive, and I unbuttoned the canvas and opened it up just enough so I could see, and there was two keys with two start buttons. I'm like, no way.
I mean, now it's just banging you, right? It's just saying, steal me,
oh,
man.
No.
Right.
No,
so,
you didn't.
So I turn one, and I hit the start button. She fires up. And we, like, scramble. So we jump off, get off the boat, start hauling ass down the... Oh, I said...
So you took off in the boat? You took off in the boat?
Well, no, he stopped me. My buddy stopped me. He's like, listen, nobody can hear it. And I'm like, well, true. No one... And I say, it is quiet. So he's like, let's do it. Let's do it, man. And I'm like, man, I don't know. You know, he's like, let's do it.
I like how you started it. And you're like, I don't know. I mean, I'm halfway there.
I fired it
I
up.
Have fired the boat up.
Right. Are the
so
owners?
So we run back. I tell him, untie it. And I climb back up. He starts untying it. I start the second engine. And I run back down to help him up. And then we start to pull forward, and he missed one line in the bow. So he's got to jump back off, untie that line, get him back on. And if you know that marina, it's kind of tight getting out of there. You had to jockey around. And
because I'm in the biggest yacht you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, it's four bedrooms, four bathrooms. I mean, I'm up top looking at the bow just going, this is the love boat. I'm driving the love boat right now.
Hey, and you're drunk.
Well, yeah, we were pretty buzzed.
All right, okay, all right.
You know, and so I'm just up top, you know, driving down underneath the Portland bridges, you know, headed whichever, you know, I knew not to head towards Salem because that's no-go. You know, north was towards the Columbia.
Yeah, you got to get out.
Right. Yeah, like all of a sudden we think we're going to cruise this thing to Hawaii or something, you know. So that's how drunk and stupid we were, just enough.
I thought you were just buzzed.
So,
I know. It has escalated quickly.
40 now seconds later.
Just buzz. We're a little buzz.
And then he comes up, and he's holding, like jackets, because it's not the warmest of nights, and he's got a fifth of Jack Daniels in his hand. So I'm like, where'd you get that? He's like, I busted the window and got in. Oh man. So...
You're stealing a yacht.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, don't worry about the window.
Oh, yeah, we stole Jack Daniels.
So I finally went down inside to where you run it from inside, and there's the biggest electrical panel, you know, with all these switches. You're like dumbfounded on how do I turn on the lights to at least have running lights. Finally figure that out, And so as we're going, we at least have lights, and now we're on the Columbia, and...
How much time has passed, by the way? Like, how long have you guys been cruising in the boat at this point?
Well, you got to get through Portland, so maybe an hour and a half.
Damn!
And do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, we were going.
Do you have...
We were going. We thought we were home free, you know, like I said... I'm 21 at the time. He's 20.
and you have a four-bedroom yacht.
All right.
No one's going
to
be.
I got to ask, do you know how to read the depth? Because now you're in a river.
Do you know what the speed is and all that stuff?
No.
Okay, you don't.
No, I assume no weight. So,
do you have a light in the front?
Willamette,
do you have a light?
Not too fast.
Do you have a light up front so you can see anything? Or you know?
No, not really.
Okay,
you know, but there's buoy markers and stuff.
Okay.
It wasn't like a pitch black, no moonlight.
Because those big ass tankers come in from China and just park in the middle of the river.
Oh my God, yes. And we had one pass us. It was monster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when they stop for the night, they just stop in the middle of the damn river, the Strait of Juan de Fuca, and they don't move.
I know. We didn't get that far.
Okay, all right.
Okay. But so they also fish at night. And they have these fishing nets that are, I mean... They stretch almost the entire width of the Columbia.
No.
So this one boat has his light shining at us and like shining it at us and then moving it away. And I'm just like, what is he trying to say? Trying to read you, bud. You know, I see a string of buoys over the bow. So I throttle out, hit reverse, throttle up. and you know, barely, like, we go halfway. So those buoys are now halfway under the boat, but not the engine part.
Oh, God, man.
So before she stops and starts going backwards. So we go around that, you know, we should have known then. And about that point, we're starting to sober up. You know, it's like 3 in the morning, almost 4. And
it's going to be one of those days.
Here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, none of the F words there, man.
I'm sorry. That's all right. You trying so hard.
You did a great job, considering all the story you're telling.
We knew this wasn't going good. So my buddy was like, I'm going to wipe down the boat. We have to throw everything off the boat we might have touched. You know, barbecue, everything off. I'm starting to nod off a little bit. That's when the tanker went by. You know, huge. He comes running in like, dude, you see this? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, because
no,
I was just.
No, I didn't. Hovering. Sorry.
I didn't see it. I was kind of dozing there. Anyways, so there was a crane. You know, obviously it's a huge yacht. There's a crane on top, Sea-Doo, a big life raft-like thing with a motor on the back. And we're like, we'll get that off and we'll just get to shore. So, but we couldn't get the crane to work. So I'm figuring, I'm a pretty big guy, you know, 6'2", you know, I have muscles and all that at the time. Now it's fat, but, and so we're holding on to it and we're lowering it down. And I tell him, okay, run down and hold it on the bottom and we'll just let it go softly. Well, as soon as he let go, there goes the boat. So it's floating away, you know, a little bit. And we're like, oh, my gosh, that's our only way to shore because we're not swimming. You know, so I run back in, start it back up. At that point, I believe an alarm or something went off because it was just a beep. It was just beep, you know, and put it in reverse. He grabbed the life raft. And so we shut it off, wipe everything down that I'd touched. And we get in the life raft. We can't get the engine started, so I row us to shore. We push it off into the water, throw the oars out in the water. And that is a memory I will always have in my head.
You never got caught.
Looking out there.
Do you know whose boat it was?
Okay. We believe, because a friend of ours who has parents went to a black tie affair like 2 years later, and overheard a conversation with two guys saying, well, I'm going to put my boat in this marina. And the other guy says, I wouldn't. That's where Paul Allen's boat got stolen out of.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How about that?
Paul Allen's yacht.
How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line. More calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bitches, you're listening to The Men's Room.
Bad jokes on the way. You can email the bad jokes to the men's room at mensroomlive.com. We'll kick off the bad jokes right before we drink and toast with the shot of the day. All right, our question, how did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I got a story that's not quite as cool as stealing a yacht, but still getting did dirty. So I have a... I was in a relationship. Mother of my child kind of fell down the wrong path. So she moved out or whatever. We have a kid together. So
what is the wrong path? Drugs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, relapse.
Okay, all right, I got you.
So she's out. She's, you know, gone for, you know, weeks or months. So at this point, I get in touch with a lawyer about getting rights to my daughter so that I can get, you know, assistance with, you know, child care and all that cool stuff. Anyways, so she said to reach out to her to see if she's willing to sign rights. I do, and she is. She said she'll do it. All that, all's good. Her mom finds out that she's going to sign custody over, which I didn't know about. And I was during this time, I'm still letting her mom and her whole side of the family see my daughter, like go over there and whatnot. So next time I go to pick her up from there, she tells me over her dead body, will she let her daughter sign custody to me? I'm like, okay, great, cool.
That's just what I need. Mom, yeah, and
all
mom.
Good. Do you? And then next time she's over there, well, I shouldn't have probably let her go back at this point, but I was convinced or whatever. So next time she goes over there, she takes my kid to the police station and tells them I molested my daughter.
So. Oh!
That takes a strong left-hand turn.
So what is your next move after that? Because, I mean, once the accusation's made, it doesn't matter how innocent you are. Once the accusation's made, that is a tough one to get away from.
It is. So the next thing, so it's funny because the day that I let her go over there, I'm like, a couple things are happening that are making me suspicious already about what's going on, right? And so then I just had the bad feeling. So I go over there to their house. I'm like, where's my, her dad, you know, her dad's there. I'm like, where's my daughter? And he doesn't really know what's going on either. Cause I'm talking to him. He gets a phone call from the police, right? And he doesn't tell me nothing. He's not a real talkative guy, but, I can hear, he's like, he goes back inside. I can hear him. Like, he goes, they're like, is this blah, blah, blah? He's like, yes, this is him. He goes, you know, I just knew something was up. So I followed him to the police station. From there, the cops told me, you know, what had happened, and they wouldn't let me see my daughter. And they were going to take her down to the hospital, get tested, whatever, which I'm cool with. But I'm telling them, you just can't let them be the one that's taking them to the hospital. I said my mom will come do it. I tried to get my relatives to come do it. They wouldn't have it, right? So, because I know the whole time that she's with them, she's going to be, coercing her to try to say, you know, whatever. And sure enough, that's what happened. So we go to the hospital. Days go by. They don't let me see my daughter. Investigation happens. Everything pans out, you know, and CPS meetings and all this fun stuff.
How long does this process take from the time that the accusations leveled against you?
It's still happening, believe it or not. And this is, 2 years later, or it's a year and a half.
So, how old's your daughter, about
that? So the strategy worked if you are innocent.
Yeah, well, so I didn't see her for, let's say, about 3 months. But ever since I got her back about, 3 months later, and, you know, she's been here since, you know. So,
do you have sole custody over now?
No, my mom actually is the one that has custody.
Okay, all right, but it's on your side. Right. It's in your favor. Yeah, and yeah, how old is your daughter?
She'll be 5 in October, okay. So she was 3 when it started.
Has your innocence been proven?
Yeah, well, as far as CPS, yeah, they ruled in my favor. They even, like, in the meetings, they'd say, oh, we know she's lying, blah, blah, blah. And she's got history of doing this before in a different instance, too.
Well, still, I know, you're right. I get it. I see your pattern, but still, that's one of those heavy allegations. And the worst thing about it is, like, look, man, you know, you can stick it to adults are adults, and you don't recommend doing that. But I get it, because we collectively just turn into turds, right? This is what we do. But kids, like, leave them out of it, because even if you make that accusation, you know, based on the age of the kids as they go through that, like, this is not good for her. This is,
don't you think?
If you're trying to screw someone else over, don't go through the kids.
Don't you think that your father-in-law knew what was going on? He's married to this woman. I know you said he's not a man of many words, but don't you think he had a pretty good idea what she was up to?
Or do they keep him out of the loop? Because he even said, like, he didn't really know what was going on when he got there. I get the feeling they just don't tell him.
Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, come up with reasons or, you know, justify how anyone, you know, can deal with or be a part of what's going on. It's like they were kind of already, you know, terrible parents in my eyes. I mean, to, you know, the mother of my child. So, like,
well, do you think, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the mother-in-law was in cahoots with your kid's mom, or do you think she simply believed her daughter when her daughter made the accusation?
No, she, so you're talking about the mother of my child?
The mother-in-law, right. Was she just going along with the mother of her kid, or do you think she believed
the accusation? Well, she was going along with, okay, so, one, part of it was she was, you know, she took it somewhat seriously, but she knows her mom, and she knows the type of person she is, and she's tried to make her, when she was younger, lie about someone doing the same thing. So she knew it was kind of BS, but all, you know, once everything got involved, she questioned it at one point, but the main thing that kept because she did sign some papers and stuff, and but her mom would leverage things like driving the car or getting money for drugs and things like this just to get her, try to get her on board.
Jesus.
And somewhere in that along the line, she gained a conscience, you know, and, you know, jumped ship or whatever, came back, you know, to the truth.
All right, so did the mother-in-law, like, did those parents know that the baby mama was, like, strung out?
Yeah, they knew at this point that she had been, because she was, like, missing for, like, MIA for, like, 2 months.
Just sounds like the grandma wanted the kid.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
All right. You would think that when grandma wants the kid, it seems like, look, we understand who the wild card. And I know, I'm thinking logically about this, and I know emotion gets involved, so I can't guarantee this would be my position, but I would think if my kid is the culprit, like, you love your kid no matter what, but you know when your kid's an idiot. So my kid's strung out on drugs. I know they're not going to take care of my grandchild. Obviously, I want my grandchild to be safe. But the options that I have, if one is, all right, we'll say the father molested her, is ridiculous. That one's out. So the other thing is, treat the father well, try to help out my daughter in the meantime, but I would think I would still be able to see my grandkid. You know, if I'm working.
You're just normal.
Yeah, but she's also been helping her daughter. Like, it's weird, right? If the daughter's drug addicted, the mom's almost, like, strung out on drugs, too, from helping her.
She's on pills, too, so.
Oh, okay. Never mind, then. That's my problem. I'm not on enough pills.
Now, let me ask you this. Did she?
Gone.
All right. Okay. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's, I mean, I know people do dirty things, and I know custody things can be dirty, but man.
Sick human being to do that.
But a horribly false accusation against one of the parents, as it pertains, like, it would be better if you said your father had sex with goats. Even, like, it's not a great thing, but you don't imply they did anything to you.
Oh.
No, only if you're lying. In your case, we don't say it because it's the truth. You know, but I don't know. That's my whole thing.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. Up until I had, and I still wouldn't think it's a good idea, but, you know, you just can't help but think about your own kids. And I can't explain it, but my kids are young enough where they're still happy to see me when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you open the door and they're still, daddy, and they tell you all the nothing about their day and give you hugs and all this. So at that age, like, maybe when the kid's a teenager, they're getting on your nerves. Yeah, mess with their mind a little bit. Something. You know, but when kids are that young, I'm just like, man, the best thing about kids is just the pure innocence. They don't know anything, and it's kind of refreshing.
But, I mean, kids aside, frankly, like, this is why you just don't do this stuff. You don't screw people over, right? So you've already been lying for so long. Now it doesn't seem like that big of a deal to involve
I've done this before.
Yeah.
I know how to get this done. But a lie
is different than a false accusation. You know, you could lie and say, like, hey, man, I don't know where your money went. All right, that sucks. But it'd be different if you call the cops and say, hey, man, he stole $700.
Well, once you're on I think I have a pretty good idea how that's going to work. That's going to work on you. You get some child support as well.
Mate, well, from who, though?
From the father. If she went to custody,
okay, right.
Look, it's a cash cow.
God, as far as the heroin,
money is the root of everything.
Well, but drugs too, man. Mm-hmm. And I was dating a chick for a while, and like one of her best friends from growing up, like since kindergarten, whatever. He was a decent guy, and she gets a call one night, and she says, "Look, my buddy Sean, he got either out of rehab or prison. I don't remember." And I'd heard about this guy, but I had not met him yet because he's in and out of everything. And I said, "Well, what's his deal anyway?" She's like, "Well, you know, he's recovering from heroin, but he needs a place to stay." And I'm already shaking my head. And she's like, no, listen, this is a lifelong friend. I said, like, I'm really not trying to be difficult about this. But, you know, the thing about being addicted to something in those moments, the addiction is speaking for them, right? I mean, and that's the thing, because you're right. Your best friend would not screw you over, but a heroin addict will. Not because they're a bad person, but they need their fix, okay? So, anyway, you know how this goes. We compromise, and he stays with us. I go to work. So he stays with us one night. He gets there 10 o'clock at night, and we have a fine conversation, and I'm trying to feel him out. And he is a decent guy, but I'm still like, he's still a heroin junkie. I'm looking at his hands, the whole nine. So I'm like, all right, get up the next morning. We both go to work. He's going to stay there. Before I get home from work, of course, I get the call. My camera's gone. He didn't steal anything of mine. I did not take anything of mine, which I was happy about. But like, stole the camera and other items like that. And he'd left a note.
Sorry for stealing your crap.
And it's like, I didn't want to have to say, I told you so, but I came home shrugging, like, hey, look, she's like, I can't believe you do that. I said, he's addicted to heroin, man. And by your own, like, he's not done with it yet. He doesn't have cash, and you have things worth money.
And he just got out of prison, so now I can do heroin.
How did you not know this was going to happen?
It was the first item up for biz.
Right.
Like, if you got out of jail and you weren't addicted, you'd want to have sex.
Right. And you're like, guess what,
man?
I've
got to find someone to have sex with.
You're going
to
go find a
prostitute.
Besides
my cellmate. How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA. So gentle.
It's always my first thought. Like, you find guys, like, they get out of jail after 10 years, you know, and their family's there to greet them, and, like, they're crying, and they're hugging their mom. And I think, you know, like, here I am hugging my mother, man. I've been praying. She stood by me the whole time. I'd sit up to whisper, like, I need to get laid. I will.
Tell me. I will. Like a friend with
you
a
made my favorite food. I'm so excited to see everyone. Mom, just get, like, it's not going to take long. Seriously. Before I visit the family, I got to get laid. I got to get laid. And a mildly related, when we first moved to Seattle, we had to share a hotel room for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Miles and I, and the rule that we had, like, look, man, just don't masturbate in the hotel room, right? Because we're at work, we're in the hotel room, so we're constantly in each other's presence.
And we're eating breakfast sandwiches in there, and it just seemed weird.
Right, like, just don't do it because it's weird. You're laying in your bed, your hand, and we agreed on this. So we finally get the new apartment. We basically get the keys. I want to say they unloaded the boxes, and before we touched anything, like, I'll see you in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Went to our separate bedrooms. No shame in the game, man. And it's like, just clean those pipes. So after 10 years in prison, I'd be like, Mom, I love you, but I'm sorry, man. I need some bud.
That's it.
I got to get laid.
How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA.
I'm not saying that to my mother.
Look, man, I don't want to say it, but I'm saying after 10 years, like, Mom, you got to understand.
I'm going to hug my mom and go, Mom, you need to get laid.
It's been longer than me.
It really has.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. Story is my brother got screwed over by his friend and also a little bit by the sheriff.
What was the story?
Well, we were living in New Mexico and in a county that only had like 1,000 people living in it, so everybody was looking for something to do. One of his friend's dad owned a car repair shop. Well, the kid would test drive the cars with his dad's permission every once in a while so he could work on the next car. Well, he decided one night to keep one of the car keys and take it for a cruise that night. And he came across my brother at one of the gas stations and picked him and another friend up, and we're just cruising. But they were also speeding, so they got pulled over for that.
In somebody else's car.
In somebody else's car. And unbeknownst to my brother of what his friend had done, he was all cool about it. But since they were minors, they went to the station and to get everything straightened out and called my dad to basically come get my brother. And when they're at the station, it comes out that this car doesn't belong to any of you. What the hell? And by the time my dad gets there, all that's found out. And then the sheriff started to try to go after my brother, but not the other kid, for saying he knew that the car was stolen.
Say that, and I'm a cop, I'm probably going to focus on you, too.
Yeah, but the sheriff was already in a little bit of hot water, and he was trying to earn some points for going after a state police officer's kid.
Okay. Did your brother get falsely accused of stealing a car?
They tried. They tried relatively hard, but my dad got a good enough lawyer to tell them this isn't going to fly, and don't even try because we'll end up owning the county.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't joyride in a county of only 1,000 people because the car that you have, there's probably only one or two of them anyway. If you're dropping it off at the mechanic and I see you on a Friday night driving my car, that's going to piss me off.
I really thought I was going to spend a night in jail. I knew it could be cleared up. Me and a bunch of roommates had just moved. This is back in Baltimore. We had one load left to get. So I take my roommate's girlfriend's car. It's a 1987 baby blue Sprint. That's important to remember because it's going to help my argument with the cop. But I get pulled over driving through downtown. It was at night, but the street lights are on, so I didn't turn on the headlights.
All right.
And he pulls me over, and, you know, of course, do you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, dude, I have no idea. And he explained, well, one, most people, according to him, if you steal a car, you don't turn on the headlights, something like that, whatever. So I give him all the information, and he says, well, whose car? Is it your car? I say, well, no, it's not. I said, it is my buddy's girlfriend's car. But it's in her mother's name. So what is her mother's name? I said, I honestly don't know. And I said, to make it worse, because he said, well, what's the girlfriend's last name? And I said, listen, I know this is going to sound, but this is true. My buddy's girlfriend's mother is the type of woman who at this point had been married 8 times. And I know that she gets married to somebody so her daughter stopped going to weddings, right? It's just that kind of situation. Whatever. I never met the woman. It's just how it is. And the guy's like, so you're telling me this car belongs to a woman you've never met, but her daughter drives it, and you don't have any idea what this woman's name is. I said, man, I honestly don't know. So anyway, he runs the information. He walks back, and he gives me a name, say, like, you know, Veronica Smith. He said, Veronica, does that sound familiar? I said, it really doesn't. He said, that's the right answer, because that's not the name. So then he tells me the name of the, and I said, man, maybe, I don't know. Hits me again. Good answer. That's not her name. I said, look, I honestly, at the end of it, like, he should have at least taken me to, everything about it was suspicious. The guy believed me and let me go, because the one thing I said is, man, if I were going to steal a car, it would not be a baby blue 1987. God, I said, honestly, man, that's my best defense. He believed that. Like, have a good night. Turn on your lights.
How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLAM. Or your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Bad jokes coming up. Get those bad jokes to us by the email, themensroom@mensroomlive.com. The return of Ted versus the FCC is on the way as well. Our question, how did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Patrick. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well, sir.
Great. So, I don't know. I got kind of a rough one, I suppose. So this one has to do with divorce. Things got kind of, he had a couple kids, and things got a little rocky on the last, like, 6 months or so. And so, you know, we decided that, you know, divorce is probably the best option.
How old are the kids?
And I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. Six-year-old son, 4-year-old daughter.
Okay.
So we decide that we're gonna hammer out the
for lawyer. Well, let me guess, you got the crappy cell phone, and she got the good one. Hello, okay.
You know.
No, wait, you keep cutting out on us, man. Start over. So what happened now? So you guys decided to go for divorce, and then you completely basically cut out.
Oh, okay. So we decided to go for divorce, and this is on a Monday morning that we decide that, you know, we're gonna just hammer out these details, and we're just going to get divorced, and we're just going to try to do it cordially and kind of make things happen. And so she decided to call her mom and get a babysitter for that night. And we were supposed to meet at the house, you know, after the work day and at around 6 o'clock. So I get home and she's not there yet. And I'm assuming she's dropping off the kids I'm just kind of hanging out, kind of waiting for her. And she's a little late. And then, so I text her. She says that she witnessed a car wreck and that she's just a little behind. And then, sure enough, instead of her showing up, 3 police officers show up. Uh-oh. And they proceed to tell me that I have 15 minutes to grab my stuff and leave the premises because she went and filed a report saying that I threatened her.
And you never threatened her?
No, not at all. So apparently that's what it takes to get somebody kicked out of your house. And so she filed a false police report, and sure enough, I had 15 minutes to grab my stuff. And, you know, I don't even want to know what to do with in 15 minutes.
What do you think triggered all this animosity that you did not see coming, that you said everything seemed pretty amicable? You guys decided to get separated. You decided to move on. You wanted to make it quick and easy. Why did she want to make it more difficult?
Well, that's a good question. I think she read the book on divorce.
Okay. Well, so, were these charges dropped against you, or were they substantiated?
Yeah, they were all dropped. So, there's no proof, and it was all dropped. And so, yeah, in a nutshell, that was just a fact to get somebody out of your home. And, you know, at the end of it, long story short, you know, she was able to keep majority of stuff in the home. And, you know, stay with my brother and stay with friends until I got all up. And, you know, within 2 weeks, it got all dropped, and I was able to start seeing the kids again. And, you know, then we proceeded with, you know, a long divorce. But in the meantime, she emptied, and she's also works at a bank, and I own a small business. And, of course, I banked with her, and sure enough, you know, she empties the bank account that same day, and, you know, empties the safe and all the money that was in the safe.
And do you have an attorney?
I had one. Yeah, I guess I still technically do.
Okay, how did you make out? How did you make out in all this?
Well, I don't know. I did the math over the next 18 years.
Your phone's cutting out, man. That was
you just got to get enough money to get a better phone. I mean, that's all you need because that's all that really matters in life anymore. I mean, it is your phone and your coverage and how much memory you have.
Sometimes, dude, I got to tell you, I just moved into a new place and it's on the ground floor, so it's like if I go to the bathroom,
you can't talk to anybody.
Right, I can talk in the bedroom, and then there's like I found out last night. I could sit on one side of the couch and be fine, but if I move to the other...
You can't lay on one side of the bed. I know what you mean.
Yeah. But what I find entertaining... It's 2018. I just, you know, you feel bad for this guy because it's like, you know, you're sharing this story. I don't care who you are. If you've been done wrong, it's divorce, it involves kids, so there's a little bit of emotional attachment. Here you are sharing this story, right? Getting it off your chest. And meanwhile, we heard about 40% of it.
Yeah, and like, I made this quote... I quoted this movie last week, I think here. I don't know if it was on the show or not, but like when he's like, oh, everything was fine, and then it just ended, it's like going back to Cocktail. If things didn't end badly.
It wouldn't end. That's right.
And everything was fine. Is that how things work? And we're like, you know what, baby? We're getting along. We really don't argue much, you know? We're comfortable with each other. Like, we got to see other people.
Yeah. Maybe you should sign, like, not a prenup, but just something at the end that says, we will be civil to each other when this
but
ends.
Just what breakups happen. Right, like bad, like, people just lose their minds for a while. And I mean, like, I had a friend, she was still living in the house, and I said, hey, you've got to move out. And they were like, why? And I'm like, because you're going through this breakup. You know, you guys have had some issues before. Like, you just, when people get that charged emotionally, you never know what can happen. Like, one of you got to get out of that house, or you guys are going to do something.
The only person that's going to get under your skin that much, who's not biologically related to you, is your significant other. So certainly, if you're going your separate ways, like, hey, man, that's when you say, hey, dude, can I stay on your sofa for a bit? Like, just get smart. Don't be around each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to think what I'd really fight for. You know, just something really trivial. I mean, like, you know, something like,
I'm
taking this Vitamix.
I just need my bases, right? I'm trying to think, like.
I'm just trying to think. She's like, took the possessions, took all the stuff. Like, that would be the last thing on my mind. You know what I mean? Like, stuff at that point in time. It's like that
furniture. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. We'll figure it out.
I need my base.
Yeah, exactly. How did someone do someone dirty? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line. More of your calls coming up here in seconds.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.